This is the Todd Wright Toddcast that is presented by Brandon Legal Group, huge supporters of Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments, including the upcoming Todd Wright Tour XXIV, our 24th event since we started back in October 2015. 2015 will be at Black Diamond Ranch, our return to the highly rated Black Diamond property, this time on the preferred course of their membership. Brandon Legal Group has not only been supporting the Todd Wright Tour for going on 3 years now, but they are a full-service law firm. When you are in need of legal assistance, one of your immediate questions about a law firm may be, what type of law do they specialize in? You're simply trying to figure out if they fit your needs. You need not ask that question when it comes to Brandon Legal Group, full-service law firm. And make no mistake, they service the greater Tampa Bay area. Call anytime for a free consult, 844-4-BLG-4ME, 844-4-BLG-4ME, or visit BrandonLegalGroup.com. I was actually wishing happy birthday to one of the lawyers at BrandonLegalGroup.com within the last 24 hours, and as we try to do roughly every 2 months or so, get together, have lunch, talk about the podcast, talk about golf tournaments, just talk about things that are going on in sports and the Tampa Bay area. We realized we had not been to Pin Chasers for a while. I took the guys from Brandon Legal Group to Pin Chasers a little less than a year ago. I brought it up and there was an immediate and enthusiastic response from the guys at Brandon Legal Group saying, yeah, let's set a date right now. Let's lock it in. And we did. Pin Chasers, of course, hosted a kid's birthday party that I was involved with, my now 9-year-old friend, Calvin. He, his friends, all the parents, some grandparents, all had a wonderful time. In the early afternoon on a Saturday recently, if you need to plan a kid's birthday party, a cyberbullying party, an office party, group outings, league play, date night, late night specials, the breakfast bowl, 7 days a week. Drew Garabo's Down to Bowl event this weekend is sold out. Pin Chasers is a destination for you. 4847 North Armenia, 5555 West Hillsborough, 6816 Gale Boulevard. That's over 120 lanes across the three locations as Pin Chasers goes into decade number 7, entertaining people of all generations in the Tampa Bay area. Congratulations to Anthony Peroni. Find Pin Chasers on Facebook or visit pinchasers.net. My conversations with Anthony Peroni are always productive, whether I'm asking him about aspects of the Toddcast, things that I want to do for my Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments. Let me stop there and make a quick note about Todd Wright Tour 24, because when I first announced this event on social media, there were immediate responses, and of course, you have the unfortunate, I say very clearly in the posts and here, that the only way you can register and get the registration information for my tournaments is to email me at toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. Instead, people do other things, such as post on that Facebook post, basically asking me the question, not reading the actual post, or sending a DM. That doesn't accomplish it either. Nevertheless, demand for it was very high, and we sold out almost immediately. The wait list is growing. However, I am auctioning off the last foursome in the tournament, April 25th at Black Diamond. If you've always wanted to play at Black Diamond Ranch, and we are playing the range course this year. We played the quarry last year. Where were you? And we'll probably play the quarry again next year. But we're playing the range course this year, the preferred course of the membership. And we are sold out with the exception of one foursome. And that foursome is up for bid. If you'd like to guarantee that you are going to play in Todd Wright Tour XXIV at Black Diamond Ranch, you can send me your private bid. It will be shared with nobody. Not even the winning bid will be publicized. Just the winner will be contacted, and I will simply ask them to pay for their winning bid, and they will be in the tournament. It's as simple as that. You can send your bid foursome only. Can't bid on an individual round, can't bid on a twosome, can't bid on a threesome. It is one foursome. It is the last foursome in the event. You can bid on it. If you are the high bidder, come March 5th at 1 p.m., I will contact you. You can send that to toddwrightgolf@gmail.com, toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. If you would like to bid on the last foursome to play Black Diamond Ranch with the Todd Wright Tour on April 25th, that's a Saturday morning, we'll tee off promptly at 10 a.m., more like 9:59 a.m. That's the way I run these things. So Anthony Peroni and I were having a conversation a while back about the Toddcast, and he said, and we were in April, and he said, at what point do you turn the page from hockey to football? And considering the significance of both locally and nationally and across North America of the Lightning's flop in the playoffs, and the perception I and others had of their lack of accountability for what happened, their lack of answers, their lack of taking it seriously, what happened, the pathetic press conference of roughly 5 minutes with a 9.5 minute Q&A from Julien Brisebois, writing it off as a fluke. All those things that I talked about at length in various podcasts at the time. And I just said to Anthony, I said, look, I love football as much as you. So don't worry. I'll be talking plenty of football. And I think of Anthony today because I turned this particular podcast back to the topic of the Lightning and hockey. We are in a bit of a vacuum football-wise. I talked last Toddcast about the change in the playoff format and my proposal, which would satisfy both the owners and the players in increasing the regular season to 17 games, but reducing the amount of minutes played and thus the amount of plays that the players represented by the NFLPA would subject their bodies to long-term physical injuries and concussions. But yes, I'm turning this Toddcast towards not only the Tampa Bay Lightning, but hockey, because as I speak to you tonight on Tuesday the 25th, the Lightning did lose a one-goal game to the Toronto Maple Leafs earlier this evening, but they've been one of the hottest teams in the National Hockey League for a while. And I just want to acknowledge, because the game earlier tonight, this will probably post next day, so as you're listening to this, the game Tuesday night was also the first game where ownership of the Lightning rolled back the cost to go to a game. I've always been very critical of fan cost indexes that add up the cost for a family of four to go to a sporting event. First of all, while I acknowledge there is a percentage of family of fours that go to sporting events, I was always critical of the list of things that they were purchasing in these fan cost indexes, and also to simply use the family of four as the ultimate barometer, to me, wasn't enough. A number of people go to games with one other person. It can be a significant other. It can be a friend. It can be a coworker. And I believe that percentage is probably about as high as the, quote, family of four, where the fan cost index is simply inflated by the number of people. So I've been critical of that for years. But when I find out, and I found this out a while ago, that the Lightning were going to roll back prices on food and beverage in the building for people that weren't fortunate enough to have the all-inclusive ticket that includes basically all you can eat and all you can drink. If you're walking to a restaurant kiosk, such as a PDQ, to buy your food, those prices would be rolled back 15% to 25%. If you were stopping at a rolling vendor who's got this big tub of ice and loaded with the huge 24-ounce cans of beer, those prices would be rolled back 15% to 25%. And if you were a full-season ticket member, your 25% discount, which was always on top of the previous pricing, would now be on top of the new pricing. So the full season ticket members now are getting ownership giving them 25% off, and they get their own 25% off of that in some cases. For some reason, the Lightning got a pass on this for a while. These ridiculous, insane food and beverage prices that impacted a number of people going to games on a regular basis. I know because I'm one of them. It got to the point where I started turning down the generous offers of free tickets to go to games simply because I did not want to spend the money on food and drink. And to me, not buying something, I did it a couple of times and it just kind of felt like, nah, I don't want to do this. And I don't have to. If I want to watch a hockey game at home and walk to my refrigerator, I can do it. If I want to watch it in one of my favorite area sports bar and restaurants and order a drink or food, I can do it. Why should I just have to say, no, I'm not going to do it? Because the pricing was insane. As a good friend of mine who used to work for the organization said when I told him about the team lowering the pricing 15 to 25% across the board and how that pricing would stay in place through the postseason, he said, well, at least now the cost of these items is down to very expensive. He's right. That's how expensive they were before. They are still very expensive, but that and the fact that the Lightning made three moves in the last week plus. Now, none of these names stand out as household for passionate hockey fans. They know who the names are. And there are a faction of people who believe the Lightning gave up too much in exchange for names that don't exactly fly off the depth chart. But the most important thing to me was it basically was an admission that last year when the Lightning were sailing along as the number one seed in hockey, and the trade deadline came and went, and they did nothing. And John Cooper said, we did something by doing nothing. A quote, I still wish someone would have held him accountable for, because it was complete bullshit, is what it was. We did something by doing nothing. You know what? Fuck you. And guess what? Your four-game loss to Columbus, yeah, it was a fuck you. That was an arrogant line. It was inaccurate. And the moves made in and around the trade deadline, granted, Lightning more injured now than they were at the trade deadline last year, it shines a light on how that line was complete bullshit a year ago. The Lightning arrogantly thought We're perfect. There's no way we can make this team any better. So we're not going to do it. And you heard all this, Eric Carlson, that became tiring. It was almost like stalking. The team seemed so infatuated by that particular player. They did nothing by doing nothing. And the something was other teams made themselves better, namely, and appropriately, they lost in four games to a team that improved themselves more at the deadline, a franchise that was just desperate to do something and make the playoffs and win in the playoffs for the first time in franchise history, and Columbus showed the Lightning their ass. This year it's different. And granted, they aren't huge names. There are other bigger names that are moving around and a lot of big names that didn't move at all. But moves were made, and I think moves would have been made had there not been as many injuries as the team has suffered in the last 2 to 3 weeks. Then you just look at some other things behind the scenes that the organization has done in December, especially. When the Lightning were, I guess, successfully maintaining the sellout streak. They claim they have maintained it, but the fact is that they had to discount some upper-level seats for a number of weekday games against non-marquee opponents because they had no walk-up of any significance. Behind the scenes, the Lightning in the offseason, while they did not hold John Cooper, nor Steven Stamkos, nor Nikita Kucherov, accountable for a historic flop. Let's remember, this is a team that had the MVP of the league and the top goaltender and didn't win a playoff game. And as I did on a particular podcast, that had not happened since predating the original six. So when Vinnick says that shit happens all the time, Vinnick also, that was bullshit. Yeah. They ridded themselves of a few employees that were quality people. And as a result of ridding themselves of those employees, customer service declined. What I am seeing in the last couple months is not only is the product on the ice better than it was the first third of the season, it is clear that from the top down, there is an acknowledgement that some mistakes have been made and there is an attempt to correct them. And the Lightning organization should get credit for that. And that is why it was the subject of this particular podcast. Because it is way too early for me. Look, I've been very fortunate the last 2 years, especially appearing regularly with my pal Gil Alexander on a numbers game on the Vegas Stats and Information Network before the Stanley Cup playoffs began the last 2 years. I had the Capitals winning the Stanley Cup 2 years ago, and I had the Blues winning the Stanley Cup last year. I am not at that point this year where I feel strong. I know enough to offer that, and I don't have to yet because the playoffs are not here yet. But the one observation I can make is that I do not see a lot of teams that can win the Stanley Cup. And I see very few teams from the West that can win the Stanley Cup. There seems to be it's difficult to find complete teams that have the necessary goaltending that can win four playoff series in the playoffs. And it's something we'll talk about a little bit more in future podcasts. I believe the Lightning are one of those teams this year that not only have the goaltending, but can win the Stanley Cup. But the path is familiar. a likely first round with Toronto, a game they lost earlier tonight as we cut this. Now, if they can get by Boston, they would play a wild card. You saw how that went last year. Who knows? It could be Columbus again, albeit Bobrovsky is gone. And the makeup of the team is a little different, but Torts is still there. Even if the Lightning win in the first round, they'd likely have to play Boston in the second round, another cup contender. Then in the conference finals, they'd likely have to play either the Capitals or the Penguins. I'm not discounting the Islanders yet, but if I had to make the cut now, I'd say they don't have what it takes to make the cut of the cup contenders. And then in the Stanley Cup finals, yeah, I watched St. Louis tonight, a little earlier tonight, beat Chicago in a game they dominated early, and then Chicago actually had the lead for much of the game, and then St. Louis came back and won, and the Blues have been dealing with a number of different things, their own injuries, etc., and their rookie goaltender from last year not having as good of a year so far this year. But the Blues are definitely a Stanley Cup playoff contender, and I and a number of people feel the combination of Bonus and Bishop, two former Lightning employees, make Dallas a Stanley Cup contender as well. Some felt Dallas might be in a position to even move past St. Louis in the West. And within the last week, the Blues, I believe, won that game 5-1. Tough to find someone in the Pacific Division, although Vegas leads that division. Edmonton just got back Connor McDavid. Again, I'll draw some more conclusions as we get closer to the playoffs. But I don't feel there are as many teams, you know, more than any other brand of North American professional playoffs. The NHL's version seems to open the door for more teams that can win the title. I would even include the NCAA basketball tournament and college football with that. I mean, college football, and I've done podcasts on this, to me, the Power Five are top five teams. There's no Power Five conferences. The Pac-12 is the conference of inconsequence. And in college basketball, it's very limited how many teams can make that run and win the national title. We've seen teams make unbelievable runs in past years in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and I still think there are teams that can win a round or two. But when you look at the true cup contenders and where the goaltenders are, I see fewer than in previous years. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group and by Pin Chasers. You can follow me on Instagram at ToddWright2020 and also on Facebook. I'm simply Todd Wright in Tampa, Florida. Remember, you can bid on the last foursome for Todd Wright Tour 24 coming up at Black Diamond Ranch on April 25th. I will be taking all bids for foursomes, the last foursome in the tournament, until March 5th at 1 p.m. No bids will be disclosed, and I will only contact the winner to congratulate them, handle the transaction, and then get their player names for the tournament. You can email me for bidding information or just send me your bid or ask to be placed on the wait list at ToddWrightGolf@gmail.com. ToddWrightGolf@gmail.com. Thanks for listening to the Todd Wright Toddcast. We'll talk to you next time.